Thank you, Steve. That's the first of our new deacons coming on to sing his solo. The rest of you guys can follow up on that a little later. Luke, the 10th chapter. What a wonderful, wonderful book this is. What a great study. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now in the 25th verse and following. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said unto him, You have answered right. This do, and you will live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion upon him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to the inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said unto him, Take care of him. Whatsoever you spend more, when I come, I will repay you. Which now of these three thinks you was the neighbor to him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy upon him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, teach us to be the people you have called us to be. Let us live after your pattern, Father, and let this be a time of drawing close to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in a political year. Wow, the election is coming very, very fast. And I hope you're praying about who will be our next president. I hope you're praying about who will go into the Senate. I hope you're praying about all of these elections that are coming up. You need to seek out God's individuals for each and every position. And yes, as a Christian, you need to vote. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to vote right. If you don't know how to vote right, there's somebody here that'll tell you. But you need to vote as God would lead you to vote. Now, when we go through these political years and we get to these political conventions, it's become kind of a current thing for the candidate to want to identify with some great individual from the past. And so for the Democrats, they want to identify with Franklin Roosevelt or Kennedy. Republicans, well, Republicans like to invoke the name of Lincoln and Reagan. President Reagan had a practice that he began at his first convention. He had the opportunity to call out an individual, calling out an ordinary, everyday U.S. citizen that had demonstrated some extraordinary care for a fellow citizen. In 1982, the individual was Lenny Skutnik. Now, you may remember Lenny Skutnik, probably you do not. He was a low-level government worker. Air Florida Flight 90 crashed in the Potomac River after takeoff. helicopters tried to rescue those that were trying to get ashore, and they were dropping ropes. One lady was having difficulty. She could not hold onto the rope. She fell back into the icy water. There were individuals on the bridge shouting down encouragement to her, but she was floundering and very likely going to drown in that freezing Potomac. Lenny, with no thought of his own care, dove in, swam to the woman, and brought her back safely to shore, saving her life. In 2007, Wesley Autry was singled out by President George Bush. Autry jumped onto a New York subway track. You may remember that occasion. This individual had a seizure, fell onto the track. It was obvious the individual would not be able to get up before the train would run over them. So what Wesley did was he dove on the track, used his body weight to hold the man having a seizure down while the subway train ran over both of them. But he was able to hold him into the well of the train, and they were both okay and were saved. Amazing stories. President Obama mentioned Daniel Hernandez. Daniel Hernandez was the intern that rushed to Gabrielle Giffords' side after she had been wounded by an assassin's bullet. I must say, all the stories, whether you hear them from the Democratic side or whether you hear them from the Republican side, all the president's stories have been amazing. They've been stories of great feats of courage and care, whether they were about the 13-year-old boy that was caring for the homeless or a Medal of Honor winner that won his medal in the battle in Afghanistan. These Americans were called out for no other reason except they were a good neighbor. Good neighbors. It's kind of a lost cause in today's world. We don't have a lot of people we consider good neighbors. Well, we live in a day of barricades. We drive into our garages. We close the gates and the doors. We go in privately. We seal ourselves in. Nobody sees us. We're there. We don't know if you're home or you're not home. A lot of people come by and knock. If you're there, you don't go to the door. And so, we're becoming more isolated and less neighborly. Yet God calls us to be good neighbors. The story of our text is directly related to the idea of a good neighbor. Jesus tells it in a parable form. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and certainly that is the case here. This is a story that you know. This is a story that people that don't know the Bible know. In fact, this thing about being a good Samaritan has become part of our language, so that if someone does a good deed, often they'll even be called a good Samaritan. As Jesus comes to tell this parable, he has at least four types of individuals in mind. Out of the four individuals, only one can be classified as a good neighbor. There was a self-seeking man in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" This is a lawyer. On the surface, it seems like he's got a very good question. It sounds like this lawyer is seeking to find out how to go to heaven. By the way, may I tell you that's what you need to find out? You need to know how to go to heaven. You need to have that clear in your mind and heart. You need to have that settled. I hope you have received Jesus as your Savior. I hope that you know that when you die, you're going to go to that heavenly place. This is a question that everybody needs to get settled. Unfortunately, there's a problem with how he asked the question. This man is a lawyer. Now, it's not a lawyer as we have lawyers in today's culture. This man was not a civil attorney. This man was a lawyer in the fact that he was an expert in the law of the Old Testament. He knew what the law said. In today's world, we have all kinds of lawyers. We have lawyers that have good reputations. We have lawyers that have bad reputations. We have lawyers that one call, that's all. And we don't know what's on the other side of those phones. All kinds of people in that particular career choice. There are those with negative reputations that would relate well to this particular individual. You see, he wasn't looking out for the good of a client. He really wasn't looking out for the good of anyone. He certainly wasn't looking out for the good of Jesus. He was trying to benefit himself. This individual was seeking to put himself in a place where he would trap Jesus. He wanted to trap Jesus and make himself look good before the Jewish officials. Even though this self-seeking lawyer had a good question on the surface, there was something wrong in how he presented it. He asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, surely this master of the law would understand a simple principle. You don't do anything to inherit. You don't inherit by what you do, you inherit by who you're related to. You inherit by your personal relationships. I've not ever inherited millions of dollars. Now, it's probably not a surprise to you, but there's a very simple reason that I have never inherited millions of dollars. No one in my family has come close to having millions of dollars. No one that I'm related to has been in that financial setting that I would be in the line to inherit from them. However, if any of you have millions of dollars and want to include me, I'm in. Here, this man is saying, what do I have to do to cause an inheritance to come my way that would make me acceptable to God? Listen, we must each individually receive or reject Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is the only way to get to heaven, only way you'll get there, only way I'll get there is to receive Jesus and invite him to be our personal Savior. This man is seeking his own selfish gain. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name." If you will receive Jesus, you get the power to become God's child. If you have the power to become God's child, then you have what is necessary for you to enter heaven. Jesus turns the table on this lawyer. By the way, this is a rabbi trick. Rabbis did not really answer questions. Rabbis asked questions. In fact, rabbis still are fond of answering questions with questions. And so Jesus turns things around and he puts a question of the law to this lawyer. In verse 26, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" Now this lawyer is more than willing to show his own expertise in the law. He wants to show that he knows what is said in the scripture, and in fact, he should know. This is something that every Jewish male would know. The answer to this question is in the Shema. It was commonly said at temple. And so he would have heard it throughout his life. He would have memorized it. He would know Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18. And this is exactly what the law says in verse 27. "And he answered him and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" Jesus tells the lawyer that you're right. That's exactly the right answer. You know, that is the same answer Jesus gave when they asked him, "What's the first commandment?" And Jesus said, "The first commandment is you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself." And so this lawyer has the law in place. He understands what it is. The problem is we fall short of loving God as we should. And because we fall short of loving God as we should, we fall short in loving our neighbors as we should. And so we are in a world that falls short. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You fall short, I fall short, this lawyer fell short. Have you ever had a verse of scripture just slap you in the face? I mean, it may be a verse you've read a lot of times or heard a lot of times, but there's a particular time in your life when you're at odds with that scripture, and so you hear it and it just bowls you over. That's what happens in this passage to this attorney. He's heard this verse, he knows this verse, and yet this time he understands he's on the wrong side of this verse. Now, he doesn't want to admit that he falls short. So what he does is he tries to do an end run around the law. There are a lot of people that try to do that today. They try to twist the law. They try to go around the law. And so his way of going around the law is, and who is my neighbor? You see, he kind of reasons out, if I can choose my neighbor, then I will choose the people that I love, and then I will love my neighbor, and I will be obedient to the law. And so the answer that Jesus gives shakes the lawyer even further. The answer he gives is actually in parable form. He tells him of the self-stealing man in verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." We're living in a day where more and more people have this attitude of what's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. It seems to be very prevalent. It is a sinful, covetous attitude. It's the thought of self-entitlement. You owe me. The government owes me. The nation owes me. And I don't like what's going on because I'm not getting what is owed me. May I tell you what you are owed? You're owed a place in hell. That's what you're owed. That's what you deserve. That's what I deserve. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. That's what we deserve. But this man fell among those that wanted to take what he had. He was on the Jericho Road. Now, the Jericho Road at this particular time was a hazardous place to be. Herod, just shortly before this time, had laid off 40,000 workers. They had no place to go. Many of them found themselves on the Jericho Road stealing in order to survive. And so there were many thieves there. Today, there are those that devise ways to rob individuals. You know, they're going after your identity. You got to know that. Identity theft is very prevalent today. They want to take your very self. Often they take your identity. They will then take out credit cards under your name. They'll run up huge bills. You don't even know about it until the collection agents come. There's some poor guy in Nigeria that has a friend that has died, leaving millions of dollars into the estate, but he can't get it. And he's been sending me emails to see if I could help him. And the way I can help him is if I will agree to inherit that money, and because they don't know who his relatives are and who they're not, so he can put my name in there, and all I have to do is furnishing him with my bank accounts, and all of that will go through smoothly, and I can help him out. And maybe he's tried to get you to help him as well. There are those that just are very conniving. They are trying to get what you have. There are those people that are very successful in this practice. There are those that want to redistribute wealth. You know what that means? They want your wealth redistributed to them. And they just are so against anybody that has any success at all. There are those that take advantage of others physically. we're in a day when abuse is running rampant, and people abuse other people, whether women or children or even husbands, spouses on both sides. Let me tell you, abuse is never right. Stealing a person's honor, stealing a person's physical self is never right. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." The thief in this passage is the devil, and the self-stealing man in this world is doing the devil's work. And so there are a lot of folks out there that are doing the devil's work. The poor man in this story had everything taken from him, and he's left in a ditch to die. There's a self-serving man in verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. By chance, there was a priest coming. If the poor man in the ditch could look up and he saw the priest coming, he probably thought, "This is my lucky day. Certainly, this priest is going to help me." But the priest didn't help him. The priest came. He was the person that should have cared, but he didn't care. He went to the other side so he wouldn't have to deal with him. Some people come to church and they don't care. They don't care about other people. They're just going through the motions. Let me tell you, if you are in the place of Jesus, then you've got to care about other people like Jesus. There has to be some concern that grips our heart about other people that are in need. And there are many people are in need. Sometimes people will come in. They don't care about the needs of others. They want my music. They want my topic. They want, they want everything my way. They want the temperature set just for me. It's all about me. Let me tell you, God's house is all about Jesus. It's not all about you. The self-serving seek to avoid the needs of others. They just don't want to get involved. Let me tell you, if you're on this planet, you're on this planet to be involved. There are people that need your help. There are individuals that need your encouragement. Sometimes just a positive word, sometimes just a little bit of yourself can go a long way toward brightening somebody else's life. Now, the Levite came down. The Levite may have been a special interest to the lawyer, because it's very likely this lawyer himself was a Levite. And this lawyer, here's the story. The Levite did the same thing the priest did. Both of these individuals had been where God's word was read. They had been in church. But apparently they decided they were going to ignore anything God had to say. If God goes to the trouble to get you up, to drag you to God's house, to hear God's word, isn't it possible that God wants you to do something about the message that he has prepared for you? Isn't it possible there should be some change in your heart and life and something different about how you live as a result? That's what we should all be looking for. God, what do you have for me today? God, what do you want me to do as a result of worshiping you today? God called his children to reach out to others, yet there are those who never reach out to anybody. There are those that never will give of themselves and never even try to help anyone else. They're just wrapped up in, number one, themselves. We need to get out of ourselves. We need to get into Jesus. And when we get into Jesus, it's going to change how we look at people. There was the self-sharing man in verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came there where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. If this lawyer had not been a Levite, he had been enjoying this whole story. I mean, there are bad preachers, and there are bad deacons, and he's enjoying all these bad people until it gets a little personal. And then Jesus talks about a good Samaritan. Every Jew knew they were better than a Samaritan. Samaritans were worthless in their minds. And so for the Samaritan to be the hero in this story was really a problem for this lawyer. Jesus says the Samaritan had compassion. Why did he help the man? He had compassion. Remember when the Samaritan city would not receive Jesus and the disciples wanted to call down fire on that city? There are those who seek themselves, those who steal selves from others, and those that only want to serve themselves. But praise God, there are people that God has called that they're serving him that want to share themselves. The Samaritan took his own time. He bandaged the man's wounds. He put him on his own horse. He took the man to the inn. He stayed there with him overnight, making sure that he was okay. He paid at least a month's rent on the room to make sure that the poor man could be taken care of, and he agreed to come back and pay anything else. Why did he do that? Because he had compassion. He cared about someone else. The Bible said Jesus saw multitudes of people and he had compassion upon them. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Because he had compassion for you and compassion for me. Because he loved us with all that he is and with all that he has. Jesus turns to the lawyer and says, "Which of these was the neighbor?" Now, the lawyer in his prejudice couldn't even say the Samaritan. He couldn't even say the words. He said, "The one that showed mercy." And Jesus said, "You are right, go and do likewise." We are to reach out to others. We're to show mercy to others. We're to show compassion to others. But this is really a wake-up call to us to realize we don't have it within ourselves to be as loving as we should be. Where does that kind of compassion come from? It comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus had the compassion to give all of himself for us. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, then it is put in our hearts to love others as Jesus loves others through us. To help others, to encourage others, to direct others so that they might know Jesus and surrender to him. Today, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, the most important thing you can do is to come to Jesus. Just to walk down an aisle and say, "I want Jesus." Today he will come into your heart. He will save your soul. He went to the cross for you. He will come into your heart if you will ask him. If you're a believer and you already have Jesus in your heart, you should be serving him. And you serve him by showing compassion to others, reaching out, seeking to draw others to that same salvation that you have. You see, you have what that lawyer said that he wanted at the beginning. You have the way to have eternal life, relationship with Jesus Christ. If we care about others, shouldn't we give them that opportunity to respond to Jesus? Maybe you need to go to somebody today and just ask them if they've ever met Jesus as their Savior and give them the opportunity to know Jesus. And when you do, you give them the way to have eternal life. Would you come to Jesus today? Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together today. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you, Father, that you have set a pattern for how to be the neighbor we should be. Now move in our hearts to decisions we need to make. Father, there are some here that have never met Jesus. I pray that they'd have the courage to step out, to come forward just to say they want Jesus. Father, some need a church home and you've led them to this place. Let them come and become part of this family. And Father, there's still others here, Father, believers here that are hurting, and I pray that you would meet them at their point of hurt. Father, show them your mercy and grace. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, would you come?
Just as I am.